Well, hello out there in Radio Land. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. And we have a guest today who has been on several times. I would say one of our most important guests and also one of our most controversial guests. But, you know, folks, if there's no controversy in talk radio and life in general, things just wouldn't be quite so fun. We're going to take a little virtual visit to a few states southeast, where Mr. Lucas Wall currently is hanging his hat in the sunshine and, well, let's say now rather controversial state of Florida. That state's been in the news quite a bit, and this is a very newsworthy item we're going to talk about. It relates to the federal transportation mask mandate, mask usage in general. I mean, if you choose to wear one, that's fine, but if you're required to wear one, well, that's at the crux of this issue and related items, and yes, some good news also. Let's see if I've properly duct taped the connectors, if the intern has followed the instructions so as to provide the best quality sound. Lucas, how are you on this fine spring day?
I am doing fantastic, Adam. I've been waiting to have a conversation with you like this for the past 11 months. Well, and the time has finally come.
That's how we like it. Let's have some celebrational music or virtual music. And yes, good news is on the way. And since you are someone who has been involved in allowing that good news to happen, even if it's indirectly, I think we should let you take over the podium here and talk about what is up. Let's first remind people, Lucas, why you are a regular and important and controversial guest on my show. Just recapitulate for people exactly how we came to know each other and why I and others feel you're an important person to have on this talk station.
Well, I certainly appreciate being recognized as a VIP. I just happened to be the first person in the country to file a lawsuit challenging the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's legal authority to require that anyone in the entire national public transportation system wear a mask as a condition of transport. I said from the very beginning when I filed my first lawsuit in June of 2021 that this federal transportation mask mandate was unlawful and unconstitutional. And although my case has not quite reached the finish line yet, a similar case filed down the road in Tampa, Florida, was determined by Judge Mizell this past Monday, and we had a fantastic decision from her saying that the court concludes that the mask mandate exceeds the CDC's statutory authority and violates the procedures required for agency rulemaking under the Administrative Procedures Act. And here are the words we've been waiting for a judge to write for the past year or so. Accordingly, the court vacates the mask mandate and sends it back to the CDC. And I'll add in my parentheses to put it through the shredder.
Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with a rather elated Lucas Wall about the defeat of the, well, illegal and dangerous, and out of lack of a better term, Lucas, stupid, that's being kind of generous, FTMM, that's the Federal Transportation Mask Mandate, a major victory was recently accomplished, and you and I are of the belief that if you know, it's America, if you want to wear a mask, well, go for it, I'm not going to stop you. I mean, I might giggle a little bit, I might look askance, but, you know, I don't wear them. I believe they have very minimal amount of effect on COVID-19 mitigation, as well as other viruses. However, that is greatly counteracted by the danger that they produce, emotional impact, physical impact, and it's just not natural. Also, you know, being in the radio business, the talking business, it's kind of hard to understand somebody when a surgical mask or similar appliance is in front of his or her face. And again, if you choose to wear one, that's fine. But no one should ever be required. It has devastated the transportation industry. And Lucas is a frequent flyer. He likes to blog. He's very unselfish about telling people his adventures, not just in the United States, but in some rather faraway countries. And Since, like myself, he won't wear a mask, he suffers great emotional distress and physical damage, potentially, when wearing one, in the same way that I and millions of people feel. He's not been able to travel too much, and that's upsetting. So, Lucas, with this decision, hopefully I described that fairly well. You know, I always like to ad-lib a little bit. With Judge Mizell's decision, how is that going to change the landscape of the entire transportation industry, which is so important here in the great United States?
Well, we saw very swiftly a return to normalcy with everyone being given the choice of whether to obstruct their oxygen intake or not. And this was something, I mean, pre-COVID, you never saw anyone wearing a mask on an aircraft or a bus or a subway. Or if you did, you looked at them very strangely and thought, what in the world is wrong with this person? And hopefully this is going to bring about the return of people actually enjoying traveling as opposed to being muzzled like an animal and being unable to breathe freely. And I think it's going to be hard, as one of my other litigants said the other day, that the Justice Department is appealing this decision to the Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit in Atlanta, which handles appeals from Florida. But it's going to be very hard to ever try and put this cat back in the bag, because once people get a taste of freedom and a taste of breathing freely, it is going to be very difficult to ever try and enforce compliance again, even if they somehow were to succeed on their appeal. But that is why my organization, Americans Against Mask Mandates, will continue pressing our 14 lawsuits in federal courts all over the country against CDC, TSA, and the airlines for their unlawful and discriminatory mask mandates. So I'm looking forward to getting back on a plane soon. I haven't rushed to the airport and taken a flight yet, because I've still been extremely busy with all these other lawsuits. We had some major deadlines last week in the case we have, actually 6 consolidated cases against TSA's enforcement of the mask mandate. And even though they have temporarily, voluntarily suspended that, given the court decision striking down the CDC mandate, we are still going to prosecute the TSA for also putting in an illegal mask mandate, which they unbelievably label a security directive, as if putting a cloth on your face has anything whatsoever to do within their mission of ensuring transportation security.
Isn't that ironic? You put an appliance, out of lack of a better term, hate to insult all the washing machines and refrigerators out there, but whatever term you use, put that in front of your face. It makes you look more anonymous, and that does certainly remove a lot of security while providing.
Yes, and a lot of flight attendants have expressed concern that they can't see people's facial expressions. They can't tell if someone is a threat, if they're looking like they're agitated and about to lash out and cause an incident. And as we know, we have seen chaos in the sky during the last 2 years with masks in place. First, it was the airlines themselves requiring masks. And then after President Biden took office, even though he said on the campaign trail that it would probably be unconstitutional, he ordered CDC and TSA to put into place these illegal mask mandates in early February 2021. So we lived under this tyranny for 14 and a half months now.
It would be nice to think the President of the United States, regardless of what you think about him or her, would follow the Constitution. He says one thing and does something else. It's very sad.
It's pretty horrible. Again, not speaking on political matters here, but it's pretty horrible for any president or any elected official to say that, well, I believe this is unconstitutional, but what the hell, I'm going to do it anyway.
I would say, and that will be remembered during election time. And, you know, Lucas and I, both independents, both lean libertarian. I think we can safely say that. We vote for the candidate not the party. This doesn't look too good, though, come the 2024 election. It'll be a tremendous debate point for sure. And you know, everybody has his or her opinion. We encourage you to form your own. These are our opinions, but there's a lot of basis in fact for this. And again, regardless of what you might think about the masks, they say it's a security enhancement. I don't think you need a PhD in sociology, Lucas, to figure that that's a bunch of bunk, and that's being rather kind to the statement. It's a security risk. You know, the flight attendants, their job is to keep passengers safe. And when you can't see someone's face and someone is suffering mentally and physically due to this useless mask, it makes your job awfully difficult. Not to mention that as a flight attendant, you have to wear one yourself. That's not what this country is made of.
No, the flight attendants are just exuberant, and pilots as well, and the bus drivers and train conductors and everyone else who works in the transportation industry, millions of people every day who have been forced by the federal government, even though it's illegal in 14 states, to require that any public sector employee wear a mask. Because of this illegal overreaching CDC mandate, these poor folks have had to muzzle themselves to block their natural breathing for more than 14 months. And so they were just jubilant when the decision came down on Monday and the announcement started being made by all of the almost all of the airlines and transportation providers that masks are optional now. And I love the video. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a JetBlue flight attendant singing and walking down the aisle with a trash bag for everyone to throw their masks.
Yes, I did see that.
And oh boy, just to see those scenes of just absolute joy and jubilation, it was just so heartwarming after everything we have been battling in courts across the country for the last 11 months. I'm a little sad that it wasn't one of my coalition members who achieved the victory. It was the Health Freedom Defense Fund who managed to cross the finish line first. But hey, kudos to them. And, you know, it's a victory for all Americans. So we share in that. And we will keep pressing our cases to try and obtain more judgments to build on a legal precedent that CDC has indeed acted unlawfully, as well as TSA and the airlines themselves.
We're all certainly on the same team here. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with a semi-regular guest of mine, Mr. Lucas Wall, about the thankful defeat of the federal transportation mask mandate and related issues. Now, we talked about setting a precedent, and Scott Spears, you know, the interviewer to the stars, who you were interviewed by several months ago, we talked about how your case isn't the one that caused the FTMM to get vacated. However, we're setting a precedent, and certainly the judges are aware that you and many others are fighting the same battle, and there must be a reason why you're doing that. Can you comment on that, about how your case may have affected indirectly or more the actual decision by the judge?
Well, my case was filed about 5 weeks before the Health Freedom Defense Fund, and they just both happened to be filed in the Middle Judicial District of Florida. My case in Orlando, because I was denied boarding at the Orlando airport. That's the one closest to where my mother lives in Central Florida. And the Health Freedom Defense Fund filed just an hour or so away in Tampa. And I think the push was strong to get both of those cases decided in a timely fashion. Unfortunately, the judge that I drew was much less sympathetic to the arguments and much more, I hate to say it, but brainwashed in favor of masking with some of the preliminary decisions that he made. And he has essentially tried to avoid having to rule on the final merits of the case. Summary judgment briefing was completed in my case for a second time several weeks ago. It's a long story about what happened the first time, but he basically punted and did not make a decision and made us do this all over again. So if I had drawn an excellent judge like Judge Mizell, who clearly understands the law and understands how illicit this mask mandate was, this could have all been vacated back in November or December, and we could have had four more months of free breathing in the transportation sector.
So you have set a precedent, because I'm sure the people involved are aware of it. It's just Judge Mizell, as you're saying, she's the one who understands the law, understands what's right. You know where I come from, Lucas, I mean, you certainly have outstanding legal knowledge, probably more than a lot of lawyers. And I think you're unbiased, too, just coming in from this perspective. Liberty is blind. The justice is blind. And you're not supposed to be biased and use your own opinions. And that apparently is the way that Judge Mizell rolls, but your judge, unfortunately, doesn't. And maybe your judge needs to go back to law school. Is that kind of what you're thinking? People have said things about Judge Mizell. She's in her 30s. I mean, relatively young, inexperienced, not qualified. You know, at this point, I'm not sure if you agree, Lucas. I'd like to see her on the Supreme Court. Judge Biden's successful nominee can't even describe a demographic that she belongs to. That is a female, a woman. I would assume Judge Mizell can. She certainly sounds fairly intelligent, and you know, that is basic biology. Sorry to digress, but that's been a big sticking point and one that I think
is quite important. I'm ready to jump to elevating a 35-year-old junior federal judge to the Supreme Court, but I will say that anyone who is criticizing her and her qualifications needs to just simply download her 59-page judgment and read through it. It is extremely well written, very rational, very sound on the law. CDC made this just ridiculous argument that the Congress allowed it to implement a mask mandate because CDC has the power to order sanitation measures. And Judge Mizell made clear, as I've argued and many others have in our cases, about this ridiculous. I mean, calling masking sanitation is about as accurate as calling it a security measure. But she said that sanitation refers to measures that clean things, not ones that keep something clean. Wearing a mask cleans nothing. It neither sanitizes the person wearing the mask nor sanitizes the transportation conveyance. Because CDC required mask wearing as a measure to keep something clean, explaining that it limits the spread of COVID-19 through prevention, but never contending that it actively destroys or removes the disease, the mask mandate falls outside of the public health service law and is therefore vacated.
As I see it, Lucas, masks are unsanitary. They're a petri dish for
absolutely.
Germs.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, well, maybe Judge Mizell, a little too much of a junior judge to be on the Supreme Court, just kind of looking at the person who got on the Supreme Court. Certainly have some issues with her, as many people do. And maybe 10, 20 years down the road, Judge Mizell might find herself wearing the highest robe in the land. We shall see. Certainly there will be controversy. I think part of it, Lucas, is Judge Mizell was a late term appointment by Donald Trump. And again, it's a nonpartisan issue. We're both nonpartisan. But I think people realize that. And since she was associated with the Donald, that is affecting people's opinions of her. But from what you're saying, she knows what's going on, and regardless of her own biases, and just making a mockery of the idea of sanitation. Sure, we want sanitation, but wearing a surgical mask on an airplane accomplishes the opposite thing.
It's has nothing to do with sanitation. As Judge Mizell noted, that you know, common sense refers to sanitation in the context of garbage disposal, sewage and plumbing, or direct cleaning of a dirty or contaminated object. We certainly do not use the term sanitation to refer to any medical device, which is how a mask is classified by the Food and Drug Administration. And it is defined by the World Health Organization, sanitation being toilets, clean water, access to sewage disposal, etc. Nobody says that, oh, I'm going to sanitize my face by putting a mask on it, or I'm going to go to the sanitation plant to buy a medical device. I put in one of my court papers, the only reason you would ever want to go visit a sanitation facility is to take in some really terrible smells.
I would say that would hit the nail on the head. And Judge Mizell, if you're listening, well, good job, and we support you. And I'm glad you stand up for all Americans and do what's right, and glad you understand this concept of sanitation. So we appreciate that. And don't let the detractors bother you, because that's going to happen in this issue, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon. Your lawsuits, Lucas, what's the future of them, and what kind of additional work do you have on your own docket with respect to your own legal action in this matter?
Well, this decision certainly gives precedent in my case and the many others around the country. I believe there are at least 21 active lawsuits still attacking the federal transportation mask mandate. And an important part of my case that is still yet to be determined, that will likely be the first decision in the nation, is to try and also vacate as illegal CDC's international traveler testing requirement. This doesn't get nearly as much attention as the mask mandate, but it applies to anyone flying into the United States from a foreign country, must present a negative COVID-19 test within one day of departure from that foreign country, regardless of whether rapid testing is available in that country at the time or not, and regardless of one's vaccination or natural immunity status. The airline industry has been pounding out letters every month for the last couple months to President Biden and Dr. Walensky, the head of the CDC, urging them to get rid of this outrageous testing requirement that does absolutely nothing to stop the introduction of new variants of COVID-19 into the United States. And it just doesn't apply equally. If you drive across the border from Canada or Mexico, or illegally wade across the border, swimming across the Rio Grande, you're not required to show proof of a negative COVID-19 test upon crossing into the United States. If you take a cruise and visit many other nations and then return to the U.S. aboard the ship, you are not required to show a negative COVID-19 test either. So it really punishes the airline industry, and it doesn't serve any purpose except to limit people, myself included, who I have a brother who lives in Germany, but I don't want to go visit him and then having to risk not being able to get a rapid test, or coming down with some extremely mild sub-variant that I don't even feel more than a sniffle as, and then be banned from returning to my own country of citizenship until I can test negative, and having to pay to change my flight and to either go back to stay with my brother or book a hotel at the airport for many days. And I mean, it's just extreme disturbances that it causes. So that's another important issue that CDC has no legal authority. And hopefully this opinion by Judge Mizell will help to get my judge, Byron, to strike that down as well. We also have the six cases against TSA, which are consolidated in the appeals court in Washington, D.C. We filed our main brief and appendix in the last week on that. We also had a group of 309 pilots and flight attendants who filed what's called an amicus curiae brief, friend of the court, detailing from their perspective how terrible the mask requirement is and how it violates FAA safety regulations for flight crews, impacting their health and so forth. So still a lot going on. I do want to get on a plane and take a trip somewhere soon to celebrate the ending of the forced masking, but the work is not stopping with Americans against mask mandates. We still need to keep fighting this and making sure it never happens again.
So as they say, we have won the battle, but not the war, and it's ongoing.
That's correct. This is one battle won, but the war does rage on. As noted earlier, the Justice Department is appealing Judge Mizell's decision. So we want to try and get more judgments across the nation declaring the mask mandate illegal and unenforceable, which would then force the government to have to appeal in numerous different circuits and potentially force the issue eventually to the Supreme Court. But for now, we have achieved one of the biggest victories for liberty that we have seen in this country during the pandemic, and hopefully a little bit of return to common sense. Some folks have said, oh, well, a judge shouldn't be setting public health policy. And my rebuttal is that, well, quote-unquote scientists should not be trying to make laws. They are not elected officials. They do not sit in Congress. They do not have any constitutional authority to try and dictate laws in terms of what we have to wear on our face to use any form of public transportation. There was a very interesting part of Judge Mizell's decision where, in addition to the ridiculous argument the government made about masks being sanitation, as if they were cleaning out the sewers and providing clean water and so forth, that she mentions that the mask mandate requires a traveler to do something, to have the privilege of passing through a checkpoint and continuing on his journey. And it therefore acts as sort of a quarantine, that if you refuse to wear a mask, you are in a sense detained or quarantined, which is another provision of the law that CDC simply is not permitted to do unless it has evidence that you have a communicable disease, not putting into effect some mandate on 100% of travelers and workers, 99 plus percent of which on any given day do not have COVID-19. And I thought this was a very strong argument for liberty, that she's saying that this mask mandate detains or quarantines anyone like myself who is medically unable to wear a mask, or who simply chooses not to, that they do not want to obstruct their breathing, or that they believe that it is a freedom of choice issue, that they have control over their body and they decide what medical devices to use or not to use. And she noted that anyone who refuses to comply with the condition of mask wearing is, in a sense, detained or partially quarantined by being excluded from using transportation services in the entire country, and their freedom of movement is curtailed in a way similar to detention and quarantine. This is a very forceful pro-freedom opinion. I think it will resound across the country, and it's wonderful that this is the first judgment that has come down on the legality of the mask mandate, because now in any other case, any different district judge is going to have to review this opinion and try to see where they can find some fault with that. And I think that's going to be very difficult to determine.
Yeah, a great point, Lucas. We're speaking with Mr. Lucas Wall, a fellow anti-mask advocate. Again, not just the freedom to wear one, and he and I and millions of others choose not to, but also the fact that they are all but useless in mitigating COVID-19 and other viruses, and also cause physical and emotional harm. It's also unlawful to require one. That's not what this country is made of. You're essentially saying, Lucas, when the airlines detain people, again, be it the mask, be it the COVID-19 test, because that's a related argument, it sounds like unlawful imprisonment. And that's not how we do things in this country either. And seeing a lot of laws being broken by the government entities that they really should know better, shouldn't they?
Absolutely, they should know better. And this was never about science. This was never about public health. This was nothing more than politics. President Biden, when he was campaigning, said that a national mask mandate would be one of his top priorities, and he did that to placate his base, who, for unknown reasons, are extremely believing in masks. I feel like it's kind of like a cult that they just have this blind adherence to mask wearing, even though there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that the federal transportation mask mandate or any other mask mandate has reduced the spread of COVID-19. But look where we are at here now, 2 years and 1 month into the pandemic, despite huge numbers of people being forced to wear masks in different areas of the country for a very long period of time. Thankfully, that has mostly all come to an end, except in a few different places. All 50 states have abolished their mask mandates now, so it's only in a few localities that anything is still required, but not an iota of scientific evidence to show that masks have had any reduction on COVID-19 cases. The waves have come and gone. The variants have come and gone. We've had the roller coaster of cases and hospitalizations, et cetera, and none of that was impacted whatsoever by masking. And so I think Judge Mizell did not get into any of that in this decision. This was not a political decision. This was not a scientific research paper. This was simply an analysis of the law. And she made it very clear that this statute is not ambiguous. Congress addressed whether the CDC may enact preventative measures that condition interstate travel of an entire population on adherence to CDC dictates. It may not. That is the end of the matter. Congress has spoken. There's no law requiring masking. CDC invented this authority, trying to claim that is a sanitation measure, that under some obscure 1944 health law, it has the power to implement. And that's just not the case. We all know this was nothing more than a political measure. Biden signed an executive order his second day in office telling the CDC and the TSA to do this. They immediately complied with their new boss, put it into effect without public notice, without taking comments, without going through the reasonable explanation process that is required under the law when an agency makes a rule such as this. And those were two of the issues Judge Mizell addressed as well. Not only did the mask mandate exceed CDC statutory authority, but procedurally, it's null and void because they did not follow the required notice and comment procedures. And they also issued what's called an arbitrary and capricious mandate, where they did not reasonably explain why masks are necessary. They did not provide the science to show that they actually reduce cases as they falsely claim. They did not examine other measures that could be taken, such as using a do not board list that already exists for other diseases that they've never been using for COVID. I mean, Adam, it's so preposterous. You could test positive for COVID-19, and a few hours later, you could go get on an aircraft because the testing provider is not required to notify CDC and TSA that you are infected. And yet, everyone had to put on a worthless piece of cloth over their face to try and pretend like we were doing something to combat the virus. Yet, people could test positive for COVID-19 and later that same day go get on a plane because nobody verified that they were actually infected.
The hypocrisy. I mean, it's a serious matter, but I mean, it's ludicrous. And it's affected permanently, my opinion, of obviously politicians. Certainly, I had a very positive opinion of Joe Biden a few years ago, and that's certainly gone by the wayside for this and other reasons. And we talked about his Supreme Court justice selection and other directions of his party and himself and the whole entire medical business. It just seems like they want to control us. That's actually the top priority, and that's not the Hippocratic Oath, and that's not the medical field that I'm familiar with. Lucas, do you feel that your opinion of obviously President Biden, but also the medical profession, is permanently damaged and just kind of disappointed with with the entire profession at this point, that they really should be looking out for our health and not this control mentality, which they obviously have adopted?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is coming out every couple of weeks now, showing that almost every pandemic mitigation measure that these so-called health experts put into place, such as masking, school closures, business shutdowns, lockdowns, they've all completely failed to curtail the virus. And it is very frustrating to have this constant narrative from these people who supposedly are intelligent and supposedly have very high education in science. And yet, if you go on my blog at bit.ly/masksarebad, MASKSARBAD, or that's the short link, or the tiny bit longer link is lucas.travel/masksarebad. You can find an amazing compilation of 228 scientific studies, medical articles, and videos showing that masks are not effective in reducing the spread of respiratory viruses, that this has been studied and known for decades, and that there are at least 68 documented harms to human health of forced oxygen obstruction. And so we are going to continue battling that and ensuring that unelected bureaucrats at agencies like CDC and TSA, as well as airline officials, do not have the power to curtail our liberty and to tell us what experimental medical devices we may use. Judge Mizell made some very good points that if CDC had the power to impose quote-unquote sanitation on anyone or anything in the entire country, that could easily extend to things like requiring vaccinations.
Yeah, Judge Mizell.
To mandatory social distancing, to require coughing into elbows, to issue a fine to anyone who sneezes without putting a Kleenex in front of their nose, to requiring people to take vitamins. I mean, it just would go on and on and on.
Yeah, we have to.
The sheer scope of the authority that CDC claims is just breathtaking. And as the Supreme Court noted in striking down CDC's eviction moratorium last summer, it just counsels against the government's interpretation that there is no way that Congress would have provided an administrative agency with that kind of lawmaking power to control what we do. If Congress wants to pass a transportation mask mandate, it could do so. We would still challenge it on constitutional grounds for several reasons, including the 10th Amendment, that the states are the ones that have the authority to implement public health measures, not the federal government. But certainly it would stand up to a greater degree in a legal challenge if Congress were to pass a mask mandate. But Adam, the only vote either chamber of Congress has ever taken on any mask mandate during the entire pandemic was when the Senate voted a month ago, 57-40, to kill the federal transportation mask mandate.
Speaking with Lucas Wall here on the Adam Lepp radio program, mid-morning coffee break, as we are also known on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Just a few minutes left, and certainly an important issue. Lucas will return for more conversation and controversy very soon, kind of summarize what's been going on. The good news, the winning of the battle, but not the war. Hats off again to Judge Mizell. Young judge, is certainly bright beyond her years. Understands the Constitution, understands what America stands for, and the precedent we're setting, because this mask mandate and the vaccine issues, there were several of them, of course, could pave the way toward more restrictions and more illegalities by the government, who certainly should know better.
Judge Mizell did not directly touch on the 10th Amendment, by the way, in her decision, because Health Freedom Defense Fund, unlike in my case and other members of Americans Against Mask Mandates, did not specifically argue 10th Amendment. So a judge usually, if a party doesn't argue an issue, then the judge doesn't rule on it because it hasn't been brought to their attention. But she did note that the law that CDC tried to rely on regarding sanitizing things has no clear language indicating that Congress intended for CDC to invade the traditionally state-operated arena of population-wide preventative public health regulations. And if Congress intends to delegate a decision of such economic and political significance to an agency in so cryptic a fashion as to tie it to sanitation, that construction must be rejected. And so she hinted here that this probably is unconstitutional, although she did not actually make such a determination because the plaintiffs did not raise constitutional issues. They only raised these statutory and procedural issues. And I'm hoping that we will get some decisions in our cases on more of the issues that we raise, including the 10th Amendment, the constitutional right to travel, the Fifth Amendment right to due process. If an airline rejects your medical exemption request, you have no ability to appeal to any government agency. So they're illegally giving government authority to private companies, which is a big issue for those of us who have medical conditions who can't wear masks. So there are a lot of other lines of attack that I presented and that my fellow 40 litigants have presented in cases around the nation that we hope will get addressed as well.
I want to thank Lucas Wall for being on the radio program today, summarizing, but in many ways just scratching the surface of the hard work that he's done in helping to strike down the unlawful and dangerous federal transportation mask mandate, setting a precedent for anything similar which might come down the pike. Lucas, remind people about our Facebook group, the one that you founded and I'm a co-administrator of, the Americans Against Mask Mandates, how to get involved in that group.
Yeah, just go to Facebook, search for Americans Against Mask Mandates, should find our group, just put in a membership request, answer the questions, and I'm not sure if there's a place to put in a comment or not, but if there is, you could say you heard about us on The Talking Place, and you can visit my blog at www.lucas.travel, lucas.travel, which, as you noted, I used to travel around the world and blog about it, and now for the past year, my blog has turned into the mask litigation blog, so you will be able to read dozens and dozens of stories and press releases about all of the cases being prosecuted around the nation to try to continue winning more battles in this war. It's a huge victory, but I don't want people who love freedom to think that this is over. CDC will continue pushing its appeal and will continue fighting this in other cases. TSA has not had its legal authority struck down to call masks a security measure for the transportation sector. So we have to continue battling this, and we will not be letting up by any means.
Thank you again, Lucas. Much appreciated. We will talk again soon. This is one of several interviews I've had with Lucas and others who are involved in this battle. Please visit our website at wwgh1071.com to listen to any of the past interviews. Again, Lucas's website, lucas.travel. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.